Hey, good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
And to think you used to kiss me every time I turned around.
I never kissed you when you turned around.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver. The Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
A man walked briskly up the steps of a little house in the frontier town of Pierre in the Dakota Territory and rapped on the door.
Good evening, Lola.
Good evening, Earl.
May I come in?
Yes, come in. Jeff's boat just arrived. He isn't home yet.
Yes, I know. I was on Jeff's boat all the way from St. Louis. He wasn't sure whether you'd see me, Lola.
Well, I...
Lola, won't you even believe Jeff?
I know it doesn't sound reasonable. Losing my father, well, he was all I had.
But Skinner Fleet and Pete Marvin put those renegades and half-breeds up to wiping out the expedition.
Father put everything he had into that expedition. He did it because Jeff asked him to, on your assurance. Jeff said you knew fur trading, and you knew the Indians.
But those Indians were renegades, Fleet's and Marvin's cutthroats. They killed your father, and they'd have killed me and Jeff, too, if we hadn't been lucky.
There wouldn't have been any expedition if it hadn't been for you, Earl.
Your father was Jeff's friend, and Jeff is my friend. We hunted and trapped together for years. How can you for one second believe I betrayed Sam Douglas?
Jeff at least tried to pay his debt. He said he promised Father to take care of me in case anything happened to him. Jeff got a job on the Haskins Riverboat Line. He's been captain of the steamer Lady Jane 6 months now. He's been almost a father to me. You went away.
Well, there was nothing here for me. I know you won't believe me, but if I'd stayed here in the fur trading business, Fleet and Marvin would have had me killed.
And now you've come back? Why?
Well, I'm not alone in wanting Fleet and Marvin brought to justice.
Then who are the others?
Some people who think it means life itself for the entire Upper Missouri Territory. The Haskins Fur Company in St. Louis, for one. Same outfit that owns the boat line. They've sent quite a few of their men up here to get the evidence against Fleet and Marvin so that the government could act.
And did those men succeed?
They were never heard from again. But the Haskins people think maybe I can do it.
I see.
Lola, if I could prove to you that you were wrong about your father's death, completely wrong, would that change your feeling toward me?
Of course, Earl. I must tell you something. I'm leaving town.
Leaving town?
Yes, I've decided.
But what about Jeff? He's been a father to you.
I know, and I'm grateful, but
Where are you going?
To St. Louis. I've saved some money, and Jeff has given me some. I want to get away from where it all happened. I want to start a new life.
When do you plan to leave?
I'll be ready about the time Jeff leaves on his next trip. 4 weeks.
4 weeks. I might be able to do it.
Earl?
Yes?
Be careful.
Take a good look around before you step on board that steamer, Lola. You may have company.
Cabin hidden in the mountains some miles from here was the rendezvous at which Skinner Fleet and Pete Marvin met their agents. renegade Indians, and half-breeds who not only served the crooked fur traders by circulating false reports among the tribes, but by obtaining information.
Kote Tamezia, Yo Alea, Menberi Epiki Soyo Fatea.
Pafesa, Opanuma di Pajen, Anyen, please.
Dejen Konbien, Opanuma Isi, Opanuma Iki Sayo Medbury Fe.
Hey, what's the jabbering about?
Him say Medbury meet Opanuma, chief Oldakura tribe.
What?
Him say Medbury get chief send son to Omaha.
Thunderation, what for?
Friends to the Waiku meet heap pale-faced fur trader.
Haskins people, when's the prince going?
Chief son leave Pierre on riverboat next trip.
That's Jeff Strider's tub, the Lady Jane. Ask him if he knows whether Medbury's going on that boat, too.
Voila, Medbury kino sayo no how.
Ba, haki, hahango moho guha.
Him say Medbury tell chief he go on the same boat.
Then he must have got what he came after.
Yeah, you smart, that Medbury. Working quiet-like, figuring we'd not get on to what he was up to.
Too bad we didn't get him and Strider same time we got old man Douglas.
Well, we run Medbury out, and Strider took the riverboat and...
Ah, Medbury's in our way now. If he gets to Omaha with what I think he's got...
Well, what are we waiting for? We taking care of all them others the Haskins people sent up here.
Yeah, but Medbury's different. He's the sharpest hombre they sent up here, and he probably told him plenty before he left. We gotta handle him special.
Yes, you're right, Skinner. What about the chief's son?
You know, Pete, I think we better let the prince get on board that tub. If something happened to that boat while the prince was on it, wouldn't the chief be mad?
Mad. Say, no other white fur traders would try to do business up here.
Some nights before Jeff Strider's vessel was to leave on its next trip, Earl Medbury again went to the steamboat skipper's home.
I'm sorry Lola wouldn't see you, Earl, but her mind's made up, I guess.
Well, that's all right, Jeff. I can't tell her yet I've succeeded, and I'll not have succeeded until that evidence reaches the Haskins people in St. Louis.
When you come aboard the Lady Jane, she'll have good reason to believe you got the proof.
And just in case I don't come aboard, you'll have copies in that package and you'll see it gets to the Haskins people?
You bet I will, son. That evidence means about as much to me as it does to you.
Well, I'm taking this case with the originals in it back to my hotel room now, and I'm staying there until the day your boat leaves.
Well, that's next Thursday noon, 5 days from now. But I reckon it'll seem a lot longer.
It will, but it's safer that way. Good night, Jeff.
Good night, Earl.
Medbury, come now. Now we take him to cabin. Come.
Our old friend Medbury.
Anybody see anything?
Nobody sees.
Perfect. Ah, he's coming around now. Here, maybe this will help wake you up, Medbury.
Where am I?
You're among friends, Medbury. Old friends.
Skinner Fleet? Pete Marvin?
Now he remembers.
Bring Medbury case. Got paper. You look.
See, this may be the stuff here. Let's see. Ah, here's something. 200 furs, $20,000. A Cheyenne River deal.
And here's a dope on old man Douglas.
Let me see. Ah, this stuff could hang us both.
It will hang you both.
Shut up.
That won't do you any good, Skinner.
This ain't gonna do you any good either. Ain't nobody gonna read anything from them ashes.
They're not the only copies there are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was mighty clever of you, getting Chief Opanuma to send his son to meet the Haskins people at Omaha.
Chief seems to have a lot of confidence in you, Medbury.
And he'll have a lot more when his son reports back to him.
He ain't gonna report back.
You wouldn't dare harm the chief's son. The Dakota tribes would massacre every man, woman, and child in this territory if anything happened to
him. Wouldn't mess with me and Pete.
What are you going to do?
No harm in telling them now, Skinner.
Nope. I reckon not. Well, the chief's son is going to leave Pierre on that tub of Jeff Strider's, ain't he? And the tub burns firewood, don't it?
What? What are you talking about?
You will now. Just suppose the night before the boat sails, we bore holes in some of them logs.
Bore holes in the logs?
And filled them with gunpowder.
No!
And the tub has got to get up plenty of steam before it pulls out.
And after everybody gets aboard, including the chief's son, of course, boom.
There'll be women and children on that boat. And Lola and Jeff.
Lola? Oh, yeah. Old man Douglas's daughter. Yeah. I remember you were sweet on her, and Jeff Strider's a captain of that tub. Well, Pete, it looks like we'll make a clean sweep.
You'd kill all those people just so you could gain your...
What's to worry about? You won't be there.
It was the morning of the fifth day after Earl Medbury had been kidnapped that the Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding a rocky trail beside one of the tributaries of the Missouri River. At that point, the stream raged through a deep gorge, and the trail led toward the top of a cliff overlooking the gorge.
Rugged country, Kimasabi.
We get to top soon. Look.
Whoa, Silver. Easy, boy. Easy. Hold on. Where? Oh, now I see it. Slow puffs, barely visible.
Smoke come from top cliff.
No one there we can see. Now it's stopped. There it is again. Seems to come right out of the ground.
Kimasabi, that smoke talk.
Yes, it looks like it.
Somebody call help.
Then let's get going, Tonto. Come on, Silver.
Lone Ranger and Tonto discovered that the smoke signals were coming from a circular cavern extending from the top of the cliff straight down some 60 or 70 feet. The signals were being sent by a man at the bottom of the cavern. A man held captive by its depth and its sheer size. The bottom opened onto the stream, but the waters were so turbulent that no man could survive in them more than a few seconds.
Hello down there!
Hello!
We saw your smoke signals. How did you get down there?
Two men brought me here. Let me down by rope. Broke the rope.
They wanted you to die there?
Yes.
Who are you?
Medbury. Earl Medbury. Pass a message. Danger. Urgent.
Yes?
I drunk the...
Poor fellow. Apparently he's collapsed. Must have been down there for days.
Him plenty weak.
From hunger and exhaustion. Unless we get him out of there soon, he'll surely die. Somebody shot him.
Come close.
Someone who doesn't want us to save that fellow down. Take cover.
Shot come from Cross Canyon.
Yes, but I can't see anyone. They're apparently hidden among those boulders across the gorge, using rifles. Tonto, we can't compete against rifles from him. They have too much range.
Pistols not shoot far enough. Them laugh at us.
There they go. Two men.
Them run away from boulders.
Ducks behind some more boulders. They have their horses hidden there.
Them run off fast. Them get away.
Leaving that fellow Medbury at the bottom of the cavern to die.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for a few moments.
Hey, kids, when you get up in the morning, you want to be ready to face the day with vim and vigor. And the best way to do that is with Vim and Vigor cereal. It's two cereals in one. First, have a bowl of Vim, crunchy sucrose glazed V-shaped chunks of sugar. Then have a bowl of Vigor, crispy sugar glazed V-shaped hunks of glucose, both from the same box. How does it know how to pour Vim or Vigor? It's magic. After a healthy breakfast of Vim and Vigor, you'll be wide-eyed and shaking with enthusiasm. And inside every box of Vim and Vigor, you get a free prize. Yes, a free pack of candy Black Crab brand cigarettes made of pure natural dextrose covered with a thin candy shell. Tell them about it, Vim and Vigor.
I'm Vim.
I'm Vigor. And if you eat us each day, we'll make
you bigger
in every way.
Have two
big bowls,
and we'll have it made.
You'll be the biggest kid in the second grade.
Vim and Vigor's tasty.
Oh, boy, you bet.
It'll make you crave to
have more and more yet.
It'll keep you happy
like Mom and Dad get
when they have a Black Crab cigarette.
Vim and Vigor cereal, a product of the Arturo Tobacco Company, makers of Black Crab cigarettes. Arturo, we got you for life.
Now to continue our story. Earl Medbury now lay in a state of collapse at the bottom of the cavern. The Lone Ranger and Tonto rode downstream some distance, crossed over, and returned up the other side.
Oh, Silver, oh! No one could get through those rapids alive.
No. Drown strongest man.
Man, yes. But a horse might get through.
Imasabi, you mean Silver? Him strong, but maybe not strong enough. Maybe Silver drown, and you drown too.
Silver and I have been through many battles together. If we must go down, we go down together.
Imasabi.
Stay close to shore. We'll need a hand with Medbury if we get him this far. Come on, Silver.
The white stallion, responding to the urging of his master with every ounce of his great strength, waged a mighty battle with the raging waters. Waters that beat and tore and sliced at him with relentless fury. Waters that whirled and spun with a powerful suction, seeking to draw down to the fatal depths the magnificent animal and his rider who dared defy them. Then, in midstream, where the strength of the current is greatest, the white horse sank beneath the surging water, carrying his rider with him, till only the Lone Ranger's head and shoulders were visible. But Silver still fought on, and in seconds, struggled to the surface. In a supreme effort, the great horse carried his rider directly to the cavern's mouth. At that point, the water was shallow enough so that Silver could keep his feet. The Lone Ranger stepped from his saddle and quickly made his way to the prostrate form of Earl Medbury.
Medbury! Medbury!
Who are you? A masked man. One of Skinner Fleet's men.
I'm here to help you. It was my Indian friend and I who saw your smoke signals.
And those shots I heard? They must have come from...
men who didn't want us to save
you. Oh, yes. They said they'd come back now and then till they found I was dead.
Why did they choose this way of killing me?
Well, they thought no chance of my being rescued before I died. Little chance my body'd ever be found. Nobody could ever prove that.
See, we'll talk about that later. Silver and I came to get you. Here, let me help you up.
Silver, a masked man, an Indian friend. You must be the Lone Ranger.
Doesn't matter who I am. Here, put your arm around my shoulder. Can you walk?
I think so.
Good. We'll make it. Here, Silver. Steady, big fella. Come on.
Silver braced himself against the rocky bottom. The Lone Ranger lifted Menberry astride the horse, lashed him to the saddle, then set out again to conquer the wrath of the waters. This time, despite the added weight he carried, the white stallion had the confidence and skill that came from having won the struggle before.
Come on, Silver. Not far to go now. Come on.
Under his master's urgings, Silver swam straight to the opposite shore without faltering. Tonto was waiting.
Kimasabi, you, Silver, win. Win big fight.
Silver won it, Tonto. There, big fella. Let's help Medbury down. Those lashings.
I never thought we'd... What day is today?
Today? Today's Thursday.
Thursday? What time is it?
Not yet noon. By the sun, I'd say it was about 11 o'clock.
Only an hour.
Only an hour? What do you mean?
A river steamer, the Lady Jane, is sailing from Pierre at noon. Her captain, Jeff Strider, has copies of my evidence against Skinner Fleet and Pete Marvin. They were the men who put me in that cavern. And the son of Chief Apanuma and the Dakotas will be aboard. Women and children, too.
What is the danger?
Terrible danger. Fleet and Marvin said they were going to load some of the vessel's firewood with gunpowder.
Gunpowder?
Yes. Blow the boat to pieces. Kill everybody aboard.
Oh, it may already be too late.
No. Fleet and Marvin will be clever enough to put the wood containing the gunpowder where it wouldn't be used immediately. Not until after the vessel began getting up steam. They want the explosion to occur at the docks after everybody's aboard.
Me hear of Fleet and Marvin. Them big crook fur traders. Dakota tribe be plenty mad if Chief Son be killed.
Yes, there may barely be time.
Here, 20, 30 miles from here. What we do, Kimasabi?
We haven't time to ride all the way to Pierre, Tonto. You ride toward there. 15 miles, perhaps. Fast. There are some ridges.
Me know.
Build a fire on one of those ridges, quickly. Send a smoke signal to the Indian prince. Tell him to warn the boat captain not to use the firewood. Great danger. Wait.
Not use firewood. Danger. Wait. Me no signal. But maybe Indian prince not see smoke.
We'll have to risk it, Tonto. It's our only chance.
Hurry, Tonto. Hurry.
Well, I think our earlier visitors are paying us another call.
Fleet and Marvin. I was afraid they'd come back.
Them not giving way this time.
Get what cover you can. There, Medbury. Yes, I see them now. They ducked behind those boulders up ahead a few hundred yards.
We get them this time.
No, Tonto. You must send that smoke signal. I'll take care of these fellows.
It's 2-1, Kimasabi.
Hurry, Tonto, and be careful. Silver! Hey, here, big fella!
Get up, Scott.
Now, quickly!
He's away!
Yes, and I must go, too.
What?
I've got to get Silver out of range of their fire. You're their number one objective, Harry.
Of course, but...
They see me leave, they'll not follow. Not at once, anyway. They'll try to get you first.
I have no gun!
Here, take one of mine. There. Here's ammunition. There. Now keep cover. Watch them. Don't let them move up on you. Keep them busy.
I just hope they do make a break. What are you going to do?
Leave you for a while. Here, Silver. Hurry, big fella. Come on, Silver.
The Lone Ranger's plan was simple. He rode off in the direction opposite from Fleet and Marvin and soon disappeared. The fur traders, angered by the discovery that Medbury now was armed, concentrated their attention on him. Riding in a wide circle, unseen by Fleet and Marvin, the Lone Ranger soon was in a position to approach them from the rear. Once he sighted them, he bore down on them with all the speed that Silver could muster.
Fellow's coming at us from behind.
I told you we should have beat it. Let him have it.
I figured he's had enough. We'll get him.
He's getting too close. Shoot the horse.
I'll get him. Oh. My arm. He got me in the arm.
I got a beat on him. I'll take him. Ow! 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 My shoulder!
Hey, that hombre's wearing a mask. Come on, get your horse. We're getting out of here.
A few minutes before noon, passengers were on board the river steamer Lady Jane as she prepared to leave the dock at Pierre.
Take the firewood below, Ben.
All right.
Jeff, he's not here.
Well, I guess he couldn't make it, Lola.
Maybe something's wrong.
Not necessarily, Lola. Earl said he was going to keep to his hotel room till time to leave. I figured it best not to look him up.
That Indian's trying to get your attention.
Oh, Prince Totowaiku.
Captain Strider, me get message.
Message? Who from? Medbury?
Not know who from. Medbury not come.
But everything's been arranged for you, Prince.
Me get smoke message.
Smoke message? What do you mean?
From ridge, yonder.
Where?
Yonder.
Yeah, I see smoke all right, but what does it mean?
Message for captain. Message say boat not burn firewood, danger, wait.
Boat not burn firewood, danger, wait? What the? Who'd be sending me a message?
Maybe Indian. Maybe Medbury.
Medbury? Yeah, Earl knows smoke talk. And Fleet and Marvin sure'd like to see something happen to this boat. Hey, you fellers. Started loading that firewood on yet?
Starting now, Captain.
Well, stop it. Get off any longs you've chucked on board.
Ain't gone done on yet, Captain. But you be leaving in a few minutes.
We ain't going nowhere, not until the sheriff and me gets a good look at them logs.
Sheriff, what's he got to do with
it? You just go get him, bring him here. Maybe you'll see.
Well, whatever you say, Captain.
Hope this ain't no hoax, Jeff. I was just sitting down to dinner. Hey, looky here.
Let me see, Sheriff. Yep, it looks like the end of that log's been plugged up.
Four horses coming up the road.
Heading for the dock. Coming fast, too.
Five men on them. Two riding double.
Say, them two riding double has got their hands tied behind their backs. That's Skinner Fleet and Pete Marvin.
Huh, now that you mention it, one's wearing a mask.
Owl Hoot's coming to the boat dock.
I ain't Owl Hoot, Sheriff. Well, at least three of them ain't, because that other fellow is Earl Midbury.
Whoa, Silver, whoa!
There's Jeff Strider, and the Sheriff's with him.
Captain Strider, I see you got the message about the firewood.
Now, you said it. We found gunpowder stuffed in four of them logs.
My Indian friend Tonto sent the message, but Earl Medbury here gave us the reasons for sending it. And we brought the reasons along with us.
Skinner Fleet and Pete Marvin.
Earl, son, what happened to you? You look...
Later, Jeff. Sheriff, this is the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger? Well, I...
Sheriff, I'm turning these men over to you. Earl Medbury has all the evidence you need. Tonto?
Me come, Kimasabi.
Wait, don't leave.
Yeah, hold on there, masked man. We want...
Well, that don't beat everything. Earl boy, it's good to see you.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, Jeff.
Well, Lola, she was right disappointed when you didn't show up.
You mean she's on board there?
Well, she was.
She was?
Earl!
Hail, Silver! Away!
The Lone Ranger and related characters were created by George W. Trendle and Fran Stryker and lovingly recreated by the Misfits Audio Players. The Lone Ranger, Smoke Over Missouri, featured the voice talents of Bobby Owens as Lola, Larry Phelan as Earl Medbury, Pete Lutz as Skinner Fleet, Mike Hennessy as Pete Marvin, Pete Lutz as Indians 1 and 2, Glenn Haskell as Prince Totowaiku, Bill, Ted, James, and Wally Smagata as the Dockhands, Tom Chalker as the Sheriff, with John Tatterzak as Tonto and Jim Patton as the Lone Ranger.
producer and script editor Captain John Tatterzak. Directed by Jim Smagata. Art by Jim Smagata. Vim and Vigor serial commercial, written and produced by John Bell. Webmaster and CEO of Misfits Audio, John Tatterzak. Script transcribed by Tegan Harris. The Lone Ranger was adapted for Misfits Audio and was presented for enjoyment and nostalgic purposes only. All characters are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. And I'm your announcer, John Specht, for Misfits Audio. Copyright 2015.